To begin with a prayer. Lord Jesus, we ask that you guide us now by your Holy Spirit. Open our hearts and give us the comfort from your word that you would have us to have. We pray this in your name. Amen. I'd like to begin by welcoming those of you who are worshiping with us by means of the tapes. We really wish you could be here. Wisconsin is it's always the place to be, but especially in the springtime, and we're having it's a really beautiful day. Sun is shining, and a lot of the birds that have gone for the winter are coming back into the area, and it's just a beautiful, beautiful time. We'd like you to invite you to open your Bibles with us to 1 Kings chapter 18. And we're going to be looking at one of the verses that we actually had for part of the sermon text last week, which is such an outstanding verse that I thought it would be nice to spend a little extra time on it. And what we're going to be doing today is departing from the normal procedure. We're going to be looking at a lot of different places in Scripture. We always do that, but more so today than usual. Because the text is going to be 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 10. And these are the words of Obadiah, who happened to be the governor of Ahab's house. And Ahab and Obadiah were going out into the kingdom to try to find some grass for the animals, the horses and mules, keep them alive. And as they were going, all of a sudden Obadiah met Elijah. And then during this exchange, he said this in verse 10. As the Lord thy God liveth, there is no nation or kingdom whither my Lord, that's Ahab, hath not sent to seek thee. And when they said he is not here, he took an oath of the kingdom and nation that they found thee not. As the Holy Spirit does every once in a while, here he takes us into the enemy camp and allows us to follow the tracks of Ahab. And every single time the Holy Spirit takes us into the enemy camp, there's always a great amount of comfort for God's people. Now here we have something that is rather amazing. You remember way, way back, and now we're going 3.5 years back, in chapter 17, the opening verses, where Elijah came up to Ahab and told Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And that started a period of 3.5 years where there wasn't one drop of rain that fell in the whole land. Not one drop of dew could be found. Now, during this time, Ahab's kingdom went from a power, a prosperous power, down to a kingdom that was in severe danger of being overcome by the enemy. The whole thing had gone down. And during all this time, it became more and more evident that if Ahab's kingdom was going to stand, he had to have water. Somehow it had to rain. And evidently there were no Indians around to do a rain dance. Or if there were, it didn't work. And then Ahab remembered the words of Elijah. And he knew that the prosperity of his kingdom was dependent upon finding Elijah. And so the search began. Hot and heavy. No stone was left unturned that it was humanly possible to turn. And yet, Ahab could not find Elijah. He looked high and low. It seems like he went to every kingdom on the face of the earth. Even took an oath when they said he wasn't there. He was very, very serious about this. He had to have that water to exist. But he couldn't get it. Why? Why couldn't he find Ahab? Ahab was living right under his nose. First of all, by the brook Cherith, which wasn't that far away. It certainly wasn't on the other side of the world. And then with that widow at Zarephath in the country of Zidon, which was Jezebel's home stamping grounds, and Jezebel was the wife of Ahab. So Elijah really wasn't very far away. But Ahab couldn't find him. Why not? Because God hid him, that's why. God told Ahab where to go, or God told Elijah where to go, and Elijah obeyed God and went where God told him to do and did what God told him to do, and Ahab couldn't find him. Now that is extremely comforting for every child of God, because there is more here than meets the eye. Remember that the word Elijah means God himself. This prophet is a representative of God. And we certainly know who's controlling Ahab. Ahab is controlled by the devil. So we could really say that Elijah is taking his orders from God. Ahab's taking his orders from the devil. And so there's a little game of hide and seek going on. Elijah's hiding, Ahab is seeking, and he can't find him. Now, Scripture tells us that there are two main seekers in this world. One of them is the devil. And so the warning is, be sober, be vigilant. For your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. So Satan is seeking. He's one of the big seekers. The other big seeker is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The Son of God has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Both men are seeking, or both beings are seeking, let's put it that way. Both of them are seeking for the souls of men. But the motives are different. Satan seeks in order that he may devour. Jesus Christ seeks in order that he may save. Now, one of these men, one of these beings, and happens to be the man, is going to be absolutely 100% completely successful. The other, even though he destroys many souls, is going to be completely a failure. And we're going to look at different parts of Scripture here to see the contrast between these two seekers. Just some of the contrast. First, we're going to look at Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 15. And this is a section where the Holy Spirit is talking about the devil, about Satan. And in Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 15, he says this: Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day thou wast created until iniquity was found in thee. Now this is a little section where the Holy Spirit is talking about the devil. And the interesting thing he says here is that the devil was created. So this is one thing we should always remember when we're thinking about the devil. The devil is not an eternal being. There was a time when the devil was not even in existence. The devil was created by God. Now, what a contrast we have when it comes to the other seeker, Jesus Christ. John begins his gospel this way: In the beginning was the Word, that's Jesus Christ, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made, and that includes the devil. The devil had his being because Jesus Christ created him. Remember that. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. So there's been a struggle from the very beginning between light and darkness. Light always wins, darkness always loses. At least that's the way it's going to end up. And so we see this great big contrast. And now, I'd like you to turn to Proverbs chapter 8. There is, in chapter 8 of Proverbs, one of the most amazing sections of Scripture that I have ever run across. And it's we're going to read it. It's a longer section. And generally, I don't read long sections of Scripture during a sermon, but this is such an outstanding thing. It's in chapter 8 of Proverbs, beginning at verse 22, and this is one of those events in the Old Testament where Jesus Christ is talking. These are the words of Jesus Christ, the Son of God Himself, and this is what He says. But Proverbs 8, beginning at verse 22, "The Lord possessed me in the beginning of His way, before His works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning before ever the earth was." Jesus Christ was there before anything was created. He is eternal. He is not only true man, but He's also true God. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. Now, the devil can't say this. He wasn't even there at this time. "Before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth, while as yet He had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. When He prepared the heavens, I was there. When He set a compass upon the face of the depth, when He established the clouds above, when He strengthened the fountains of the deep, when He gave to the sea His decree that the water should not pass His commandment, when He appointed the foundations of the earth, then I was by Him as one brought up with Him, and I was daily His delight, rejoicing always before Him. Rejoicing in the habitable part of His earth, and my delights were with the sons of men." Now the devil can't say this, but Jesus can. "Now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death." Now the devil hates Jesus Christ, and therefore he loves death. He is the God of death, and he's seeking that he may devour. Now there's another point. In Job chapter 1, I'm just going to read this quickly to you, verses 6 and 7. "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou?" Now listen to what the devil answered. "Now Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it." Now here we learn something about the devil. Now simply put, the devil can only be in one place at one time. He's got to walk from one place to another. And if he's in one place, he's not somewhere else. He can only be in one place at one time. Now the other seeker is far different. Jesus Christ says, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." He's talking to every one of his believers. And there are many passages in the Bible where Jesus Christ claims that he is everywhere at once. Well, he's true God, isn't he? And God is everywhere. Theologians call this being omnipresent. Some of you know that word. That means he's present everywhere at the same time. Now, the devil is not, and he cannot be. Listen to what the Lord says in Psalm 139, beginning at verse 7. Or this is the believer speaking. "Where shall I go? Whither shall I go from thy spirit? or whither shall I flee from thy presence? Now, we can flee from the devil, but how are you going to escape from Jesus Christ? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee. You can't hide in the dark from Christ. But the night shineth as the day, and the darkness and light are both alike unto thee. Now, what the psalmist there is saying is, David, I couldn't get away from you even if I tried. And no matter where I go, you're there. Well, that's very comforting to a child of God, isn't it? We're never alone. I don't care where you are. Top of the mountain, depths of the sea, east, west, north, south, anywhere. Wherever you are, you're not alone. God is there with you. That's very comforting. So you see the big difference between these two seekers, the devil and Jesus Christ. There's a big, big difference between these two. Now, in James chapter 4, verse 7, the Holy Spirit tells us, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. The devil is very strong, he's very powerful, but deep down in his heart, he's a coward. And if you fight against him, and if you resist him, he's going to have to turn and run. And the way you do that is by using the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and the Word is Jesus Christ, and the devil can't stand in the presence of the Word of God. So if you're studying Scripture every day and you're living according to it, the devil can't stay by you. He's got to run away. He is a coward. The other seeker never runs away from anyone. All power has been given to me in heaven and on earth, he says. I control everything. And the Lord God is very, very powerful. The Son of God is a man of war. And he's going to destroy his enemies at the last day, all of them. He's going to be a victor. Another thing. The devil always makes the biggest mistake that is possible to make. If there's one really big, stupid thing to do, that's what the devil's going to do. Now, the biggest mistake that he ever made was when he entered Judas Iscariot and prompted him to betray Jesus Christ and then led that multitude out to Gethsemane to take Christ captive and had him nailed to the cross. That's the biggest mistake that the devil ever made. Because when Jesus Christ was nailed to the cross and shed his blood and died, that death on the cross saved his people from their sins. That is exactly what Jesus Christ wanted to do, and the devil played right into his hands. If the devil would have been smart, he would have told his wicked angels, I want you to surround Jesus Christ and don't let anything bad happen to him. I don't want one drop of his blood shed. Don't let him prick his finger. Don't let anything happen to shed that blood. We don't want him to die. We don't want that bloodshed. If the devil would have been smart, that's what he would have told his people to do. But he always makes the biggest mistake that is possible to make. And that was the big one. And then came the resurrection on the third day and destroyed everything Satan had done. Now, the Bible tells you and I that even though Satan is very powerful, and we should be sober, be vigilant, because like a roaring lion, he's walking about seeking whom he may devour. The Bible tells us that there's one way that we can escape from him, and that is to follow God's commands. And the Lord tells us a number of things about this if we do it. I'm going to read real quickly from four passages. One is in Psalm 27, verse 5, where the psalmist says this, "For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon the rock." So God is going to hide you. And when Satan is seeking for you to destroy you, he is not going to be able to find you. Psalm 31, verse 20, "Thou shalt hide them, your people, in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in the pavilion from the strife of tongues. Psalm 83, verse 3. They have taken crafty counsel against thy people and consulted against thy hidden ones. And then Colossians 3, verse 3. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. So this is the key thing, to be hidden by God. And, that, and you see, that's where Elijah got away, isn't it? He followed the commands of God. He went where God told him to go. He did what God told him to do. And Ahab couldn't find him. Now, there are some very comforting passages. I don't know how many of these we can get into. But Psalm 147, verse 4 tells us that God telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their names. And if you go to something like Isaiah chapter 43, this is one of the most comforting little sections in the whole Bible. Isaiah chapter 43, I'm just going to read verses 1, 2, and 3. Isaiah 43. And God now is talking to you. This is to you, each one of you. For now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not. For I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. You belong to Jesus Christ. When thou passest through the waters, when you're in trouble, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. And if you go to something like John chapter 10, John chapter 10 is the chapter that we know as the Good Shepherd chapter. Listen to what Jesus says about his own people. I am the Good Shepherd. I'm in verse 14. And I know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knows me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. Not they might, but they shall. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd. And then down to verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them to me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. So finally, you know what this is really all about? The devil really is seeking for God's people. Those are the ones he really wants. Because he knows that the people of God are the bride of Jesus Christ. And he knows that God has a wedding planned at the last day when Jesus Christ is going to take his bride, the church, and the devil does not want that to happen. He tried to destroy the bridegroom, but that didn't work because the Son of God, even though he was dead, rose from the dead on the third day. And now he's trying to take the bride away. But that's not going to work either. It's true that we were all lost at one time and in the power of the devil, but there's a great seeker that came into this world, the Good Shepherd. And he says, I am going to seek for my sheep, and I am going to find every single one of them. And not even one is going to be lost. And I'm going to hide them so that the devil can't find them. And I'm going to bring them at the last day into my kingdom. And this is going to happen. We have then the two main seekers. There's the devil and Jesus Christ. But now the Bible tells us that there's one more seeker. I wonder who that is. It's you. You are a seeker also. When the Holy Spirit enters your heart, then you start seeking for Jesus Christ. So he is seeking for you. And you are seeking for him. And so the Bible says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. That's what you and I are doing every day of our life. We're seeking for the Lord. And we do this by studying his word and living according to it. Proverbs 8:17, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. That's a promise. And Jesus himself says, keep on asking and you shall receive. Keep on seeking and you shall find. Keep on knocking and it shall be opened unto you. We'll close the sermon with a prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you for coming into this world and seeking for us and for all of your people who had been taken captive by Satan and were under his power. We thank you for finding us by your Holy Spirit and your word, and for leading us to safety. And we pray that you would give us this comfort, that as we study your word and go where you tell us to go and do what you tell us to do, we are hidden from the other seeker who seeks to destroy us but is unable to find us. I pray this in your name. Amen.